We're back on the Bill Shank Show, segment eight here, and let's talk a little basketball with our man Jason Walker from PetreeHoops.com. Talk a little bit about the NBA draft from the other day and also the poop that's getting ready to hit the fan on July the 1st, all the free agent stuff. Jay, I know you are ready to rock and roll because it is, I mean, this is the hot stove league for the NBA. It's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Absolutely. This is where, on our website, PetreeHoops.com, the traffic picks up significantly. Everybody's interested in the hope and potential of free agency and getting, getting the big name where your big name's going, et cetera. Last year, we had a lot of traffic as people were tracking down what the Hawks were going to do with their own free agents. They had Bibby and Marvin Williams, Zaza Pachulia, et cetera, as well as chasing, some of even the minor free agents like Joe Smith got a lot of attention. And tracking. So, this year, with all the mega free agents available, it should be extremely interesting.
Let's first talk about the draft from Thursday night. A lot of trades, which made it a little more interesting than last year when there were not a lot of trades. Before we get to the Hawks pick and what they did, what were your overall thoughts on what happened in the NBA draft on Thursday?
Well, I think that it was pretty much a drama-free draft. There wasn't a lot going on that wasn't already expected, and it speaks to a couple things. It spoke to the real lack of dynamic talent available in this draft. A lot of solid guys available, but other than the top six or so picks, there weren't a lot of real exciting names involved in there. And it just spoke to the fact that these teams were very well prepared, and there were no mega reaches. Everybody was pretty educated about these guys that were being taken. They were being taken about the right time. And it made for a pretty dull, uninteresting draft, except for some of the trading that went on, including the Hawks.
Can we go ahead and label Oklahoma City as everybody's girlfriend team? I mean, this is a club that's just getting better and better. They got a center the other day in the Aldridge kid. They got another pick, I think, what, 17 or whatever, from and another no 18. I'm sorry, the Bledsoe kid from Kentucky. I mean, they continue to just stockpile talent that makes you wonder if this is a team in the Western Conference that is really going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, we wrote a piece last year after we played the Thunder, the Hawks played the Thunder, that, we thought that, already this is a team and a franchise that have already passed the Hawks. Even though the record didn't show it, even though, the Hawks actually made it further in the playoffs, and, some of it was the difference between having a superstar like Kevin Durant and not having a superstar on the team like the Hawks did. But it speaks to much further than that. That front office is prepared. They do the right things. It's all about basketball, and it's all about putting their franchise in a better position. They made a trade with the Clippers where they traded, I think they drafted and then traded the pick to the Clippers for a future first rounder, which is always a great thing. Get the Clippers first rounder for in a future year. It's an excellent deal, right? And those are the types of things that they did last year during the year. They were able to use the cap space they had. They didn't overspend. They didn't just bring in a veteran, I put in air quotes, bring in a proven veteran to just have them on the team for whatever reason. They kept the cap space open, and when Utah wanted to dump Matt Harper in his contract, they were able to accommodate Utah, and as a sweetener to the deal, they got Eric Maynard, the great, the great young a guard that was just drafted last year in the first round. So it was in this day and age, having a savvy front office with the financial flexibility and ability to stay two or three steps ahead puts you at an extreme advantage. And Oklahoma City certainly has that. So yeah, they are the kind of the darlings of those who watch basketball. Sam Presti pushing all the right buttons out there, but they've earned that right by the moves that they've made.
Well, and just leveraging their picks to take a pick like they got in Bledsoe and to leverage it into another first-round pick. I mean, that is very savvy work in the front office. Jason Walker is our guest from PetreeHoops.com. Now, let's talk about the Hawks. They did make several moves the other day. First, they had the 24th pick, and they picked the guy that you predicted they would pick, Damian James. But then they turned around and traded it away to trade down three and also get a little cash in the deal, which means the secretary won't be fired at the Atlanta Spirit, I would imagine. And they got Jordan Crawford, a kid that it looks like a shooting guard, a kid from Xavier. What are your thoughts on the pick of Jordan Crawford?
Well, first, the Hawks when they're picking 24th, and, you know, as we were doing our mock draft on the SB Nation, we did pick Damian James. We were surprised at the quality of guys that were kind of left as we were selecting, and that was exactly how it played out on draft night. So the Hawks were sitting there at 24, and at least, you know, five or six of the guys that they worked out, and a lot of the guys, you know, very highly touted guys, especially for that end of the draft, were still available, including, you know, Crawford, the explosive scoring guard from Xavier. You know, so the Hawks did the right thing. They took, they had a bunch of options. They traded back to the 27th slot, and you know, we're still knowing that they would still have one of those guys available, and picked up the most coveted pick of the draft, other than one of the lottery picks, and that's the 31st pick. That first pick in the second round, where the contracts can be from 2 to 5 years, it's not slotted. You know, you can really have a lot of flexibility with that pick. They got the pick. The 31st pick. So, you know, they took, and then they were in the 27th pick. They got who they probably would have taken at 24, which was Jordan Crawford. And Crawford is a fantastic, you know, scorer. He's probably the most biggest guy with the biggest upside down there at 27 that they could have possibly picked. A definite rotation guy, even on a playoff team like the Hawks. You know, he one thing that you know, a negative to having him on the team is that, you know, the Hawks have a ton of two guards already without even considering what happens with Josh Childress or Joe Johnson. They already have a lot of guards. You got Jamal Crawford there already. You know, you've got Teague, you got Mo Evans, who's better suited to play the two. You know, so, you know, you're kind of adding on to your, piling on your strength there. But certainly he was the best player available at that pick. Could be a Ben Gordon-type scorer in the NBA, which, you know, Gordon got a huge contract from the Pistons last offseason and had all those great high-scoring games for the Bulls. So, you know, and as far as the Crawford pick's concerned, it was definitely the best guy available on the board, and the Hawks did the right thing by trading back. They're going to be paying him about $300K less over the – so you're right, the secretary can keep her parking pass and you know, keep coming into work. So it was a good move and a good pick by the Hawks there at 27.
Now, of course, with Joe Johnson – a free agent, we'll get to that in a moment. Everybody's wondering, well, how much of a contribution can Jordan Crawford make immediately this year? I mean, you call him like a Ben Gordon type. Can he step in and even add 10 points a game in his rookie year, maybe?
Well, it just depends, right? I mean, it does depend if Joe Johnson comes back, because that's an awful lot of minutes that Joe eats up, you know, and if Joe leaves, it bumps everybody up. You know, now Jamal Crawford has to start, and that opens up some playing time for Jordan Crawford. But, you know, I think a lot of it's going to do with just how hard Crawford, how hard Jordan Crawford makes it on the Hawks through his summer league play, something that Jeff Teague didn't get to have last year. They're going to go out to the summer league in Las Vegas. And, you know, if the guy's the story of the summer league out there, and if he shows it, he's just too much of a scorer to be kept on the bench, he'll get his playing time. But, you know, if Joe Johnson comes back, You know, you've got Mike Bibby still, who's playing kind of a specialized point guard role. He's the only guy on the roster that can get the guys into the right plays, get the guys in the right position. You got Jeff Teague. You have to kind of develop as a point guard. And then you have Jamal Crawford, Joe Johnson. You know, as much as you'd want to play the guy, you really don't see a lot of minutes for the guy if Joe Johnson comes back. But if Joe does decide to move on, and we will talk about that later, Jordan Crawford, will get some time to play, and I'm sure we'll be excited about what we see.
Jason Walker, our guest from PetrieHoops.com, talking about the Atlanta Hawks. All right, so that was the good part of what they did. And then when they had the first pick in the second round, they sold it. They simply sold the pick. And your thoughts?
Well, you know, you have such a euphoric high to watch your franchise do the right thing. They traded back. They got the pick in the second round. All the potential of having some of those big men left over. Hassan Whiteside was out there among some of the guys. Bernardo was out there. A couple guys we really would like to see, giving them a shot blocker off the bench, something that they could address small and big, even during the draft. The AJC's Michael Cunningham was talking about that. Now they can address the big. They got the small. They have the pick to get the big. It's just a dream come true for a franchise to do the right thing. They traded back. They got an extra pick. It's all kinds of smart moves. And then to get to the 31st pick, and you sell it. And what it did, Bill, was it just reached up and smacked all the fans across the face and smacked them with the reality that this is a cash-strapped franchise. And to treat the 31st pick, as my good friend Brett Legree said over at HoopinionBlog.com, you know, treating the 31st pick like an ATM is not how you run a championship franchise. And it just, you know, the cold reality of it is they probably needed the money. And it was $3 million. And, you know, you don't get a future pick. You don't get somebody that could even potentially help you. You know, and what it does is it just sobers the fans up to realize, you know, we're not one of the top franchises. We do have serious financial issues. And you know, and the kind of things that fans just, you know, don't want to see their franchise have to go through, the financial limitations. You just realize we're not going to have solid depth. You know, we're going to have a solid, you know, starting rotation, but no, there's no depth involved there. We're going to see another year of Jason Collins trotting in off the bench, or, you know, it's sad to say, an over the hill Joe Smith coming off. And it was very sobering that the Hawks wouldn't even take the $500K to $700K per year that it would have cost to pay a player in the second round, a guy with upside, a young man that could have given you some potential off the bench, and who knows what he could have developed into. But they didn't even want to pursue that, and they didn't even want to take a future asset in return. What they wanted was cash today, and that is a sobering truth about the franchise, and it hurt as a fan. And, you know, we wrote that they chose cash over winning, and they really did. I mean, that's the only thing that this move can tell you is that, hey, we had a chance to make $3 million, so we did it. Not, hey, we had a chance to make our team better, so we did it. No, they took the money, and that is the sad, you know, that was the sad truth about selling that 31st pick in the draft. And the fact that it went to Oklahoma City was such a nice contrast with one franchise taking advantage of another one in different situations. And it was too bad. And then what they did with the 53rd pick, they were taking a guy that nobody had heard of. They worked him out because the guy paid his way over. It was a pick that was the legal way for the Hawks to say, we pass with that second-round pick. They passed. They took a guy. If he becomes anything, hey, they have a value. But really, it's a $0 item on the salary cap. And just the whole second round smacked of the financial truths about the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, and you know what, we probably, if we would have paid our way to the workout, they would have worked us out for free, too. Jason Walker, our guest for PeachtreeHoops.com. All right, a couple minutes left here. Let's quickly talk about the free agent stuff. We know we'll probably have you on Wednesday and or Thursday about this when everything kind of breaks. But it looks like from the rumors out on Sunday night that Joe Johnson's going to meet with the Knicks. I mean, it looks, Jason, like he's gone.
Well, you know, first of all, the Hawks have the advantage of being able to offer him a 6-year deal. And, you know, as all the reports say, you know, you're talking about over $20 million. And that is significant to any NBA player. So, you know, the Hawks still have the advantage if they want to bring him back. You know, we're on record to saying a 6-year max deal for Joe Johnson at this stage of his career, with the financial restraints we obviously see that this franchise has, is just not a good move for the Hawks. Joe Johnson's still going to be a solid player. He's probably got the same level of production for the next year or so. And then he's going to start to drop off. And the Hawks just aren't a franchise in a financial position to eat 4 years of a contract. And you're talking about a contract that's going to escalate well into, you know, probably into the $20 million range by the time that it's up. And that's, you know, that's just not a place for the Hawks they need to be. So in saying that, yeah, it's probably the most likely thing is that Joe will go to another franchise. Probably in a sign-and-trade to be able to get him the most years and money possible.
And with the Knicks, if it is New York, I mean, you mentioned we were talking off the air earlier, maybe a trade exception would be the best thing for the Hawks to be able to recoup?
Well, you know, if you can get great players back, that's fine. But, you know, but in a team like that has cap space available for two max contracts, or two, maybe even 2 6-year contracts, a sign-and-trade would be the best thing to go. They might not get a max contract, but maybe a 60-year deal. A 6-year deal with a, you know, worth more than the $95 million they can currently maximumly pay him. So maybe a 6-year, $100 million, 6-year, $105 million deal that doesn't blow their opportunity to sign a second free agent. But what the Hawks can do instead of taking all those players back, because the Knicks obviously don't have much that anybody wants, if something like that were to happen, it would be in the best interest of Joe Johnson and the Hawks to be able to do a sign and trade and maybe get back a trade exception that they could use, over the next year to be able to make kind of a move like Oklahoma City made, as we discussed earlier, and take on a bad contract that somebody wants to dump so they don't have to pay the luxury tax, and in return get a player like Eric Maynard, like the Thunder did last year. So, you know, that probably would be the best scenario. It's not very sexy, but it is a good basketball move for the Hawks versus just letting Joe Johnson walk and getting nothing in return.
All right, and finally, real quick, just to let people know, I know people are asking this and wondering about this. There's still a lot of other free agents out there. Can the Hawks or will the Hawks have the flexibility if, in fact, Joe Johnson leaves to add any more players since there are a lot of unrestricted free agents out there?
Well, they can add somebody, but it's not going to be a max-level player. So, you know, you're not going to get even somebody, you know, forget the big guys. Forget, you know, even the second tier. Like, I don't even think they could get Rudy Gay in for the type of money they have. Maybe they could. Rudy Gay, the free agent from Memphis. David Lee, probably not. You know, Ray Allen, no, probably not. But, I mean, they talked about John Salmons, who we've already been on record as saying that's not a good move. But that's probably the type of guy you're looking at, a John Salmons type guy that can, you know, come in from between $5 to $7 million. You're going to have about, you know, that much to be able to spend on a first-year deal.
Jason Walker, our guest. Jay, thank you as always. We'll talk to you again later this week.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're back with more as we continue here on this Monday right after this.